Mackenzie Atwood, and because the Steven Universe podcast is in perfect emotional harmony with all involved, we're going to dedicate an entire episode to fusions. As most of you already know, fusion gems are the result of two or more gems, or half-gems, emotionally connected to each other. Their minds and bodies become one, and they create an entirely new entity. Fusions are a beautiful representation of love and relationships. They're really special characters in the show, and so it's always a big deal when one is revealed. So we're going to be talking today about fusion with creator Rebecca Sugar and former executive producer Ian Jones-Cordy. We're going to discover the origins of Garnet, what went into building up and revealing Smoky Quartz, what inspired Stevani, and which myths and fan theories about fusion are just simply not true. We're also going to welcome Steven Universe comic writer Grace Kraft. She's a big Opal fan, and you're going to find out why. And AJ Mishaka, the voice of Stevani, is also coming onto the podcast. She's going to share her audition process for the special role, how she developed the right voice, what it was like recording for Jungle Moon, and why she really, really wants to fuse with her real-life sister and bandmate, Allie. Plus, Stevani has agreed to come on and answer a few questions, too. So, let's start today with Rebecca Sugar and Ian JQ. Welcome back, and thank you guys, as always, for coming on and talking to me.
Hey!
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, fusion is something that's really, for me, it was something that really drew me into the show. I think that for a lot of people. And I just wanted to know, like, first off, when was the concept of fusion added to the existing ideas for the show?
Very beginning.
Yep.
Wow.
It was there from the, yeah, that was like part of, I remember your original idea.
I have pilot era drawings of Opal, Sardonyx, Smokey.
Yeah.
Ones I can't. Yet because they would be a spoiler.
Because there would be a spoiler, yeah.
Like it was like between pilot and show, but the ideas were at pilot stage. I think when I was working on the pilot, I had a list of everybody's fusions and their weapons.
And I think like even like in terms of just the drawings of the characters, fusions had to be made very early because that's why gem placement was so specific among the main four about making sure that, you know, fusions will always work. Yeah.
And the temple. I mean, it's in the pilot.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's like it's right there.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Garnet, there's all these hints in the pilot.
Yep.
There's big red and blue gems on either side of her when you first see her. And, of course, she always has two gems. So no one's going to have two gems unless they were
And I remember,
gems.
Like, I remember, like, fusion being, like, it was like a selling point for like when you were first pitching.
I think it was
the
it wasn't supposed to be. I think it was that I had told Phil about it.
Yeah, that's right.
But we were all like,
Phil
we better hold on to this. Yeah,
Phil Rinda, who did the designs on the pilot.
We were all kind of like, we'll worry about this later because this will be really confusing if we bring it up. And then he like chimed in with it in a meeting.
He brought it up in a meeting, and then they're like, fusions, what?
And then I was like, I explained it really fast, you know, because like, you know, Garnet, it was already there. And I'm like, oh yeah, she's a two smaller people. believe me, it's going to make a lot of sense.
But yeah, it was really early on. Yeah.
That's crazy. So it was, Garnet was conceived as a fusion even from the earliest drawings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. Who was the first that you conceived outside of Garnet?
I'm probably Opal.
Yeah.
It might be another. I'm thinking back to that, like, original, those
the
original
list. I mean, I did them all at the same time. Opal and Sardonyx are drawn
Opal
on the same
Sardonyx,
sheet.
Yeah.
And so I can't
talk about it.
It goes all the way back.
Of the unveiled ones, how much have they changed from the time that you first thought of them? And then
they changed a lot.
Smokey, I think, maybe changed the most,
I think Sardonyx changed the most.
Oh, Sardonyx. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because Sardonyx
was
very stoic.
Yes.
Originally.
Yeah. It was because we didn't really know how the characters were going to be by that time.
I think, even when we got close to that arc, I was still drawing her kind of stoic, and we kind of had that she was going to be very beetle-like.
Yeah, that was
segmented.
There. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We knew the hammer.
The insect stuff, the hammer was very obvious.
I remember it hit me like a ton of bricks one day that she should be a huge nerd.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she has to, and like exuberant about it, and a magician, all these elements of like, I had, you know, and I feel like this was sort of a thing with all the fusions. I was starting very technical. This is like so unlike me, but I was starting with all the technical stuff first and then doing the personality stuff second. But I mean, the personality stuff had to be there. That's the most important thing. But I think Sardonyx like really clicked for me. And then Joe, like,
Yeah, yeah. Joe came up
totally
with all
those
concepts.
Totally took it home and made her. He created her teeth.
He did the gap
tooth. That's based off him.
Joe. Yeah, that's based off Joe Johnson's storyboarder, now co-executive producer.
Yeah, co-executive producer.
He has a gap tooth, and yeah.
Yeah, he put that in. He also did the scratch. So yes. For a long time in the animatic, it was just Joe. And I'm still like a little attached to that. Oh, Alexi. Yeah.
I mean, it was
amazing.
But yeah, like I remember. Actually, this came out kind of recently. So I was doing like another interview and. Someone was like, what's something we don't know about Garnet? And I was like, oh, it's that she's kind of like a dork.
Or she's socially
awkward.
Very awkward. Yeah. Yeah.
In that she seems cool because she takes a long time to think of what she's going to say.
Mm.
But there are times when you catch her unprepared. And then you're like, what is up with Garnet?
Uh-huh.
She's so like... awkward, and that is like her thing.
It just comes off as stoic.
It comes off as stoic because usually she looks really cool, but like she's actually.
Well, they're all. I think all of the gems are socially.
Yeah, they have.
Inept
they have like
in
these, some
in
kind
very
of
different
awkwardness.
Ways.
Yeah,
but Garnet. It's
Garnet
still
is
true
like.
For Garnet.
I mean, it's really far for her. It's crazy.
Yeah, like
I remember when Lamar. Did that thing where
or she's on the phone with Connie's parents.
Yeah. And it was so in character. It was like, yep, she would be exactly like that. But somehow she still seemed kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, putting that into Sardonyx, it made total sense that, you know, there would be like a little bit of that dorky quality.
I think
with
that's the thing. Like, I feel like also in a lot of my very, very good artist friends, like there's a way that a person can be sort of socially awkward but still completely believe in themselves.
Yeah,
and have
true.
Total confidence in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And both things are true simultaneously. And I love that. I wish I was capable of that. But I think that's really where she felt. Like Garnet, Amethyst and Pearl are sort of socially inept, but they are also very incompetent. But Garnet is confident. She's
right.
She's just as equally sort of.
It makes Sardonyx feel like magnetic, you know, like in terms of just being drawn to someone so super confident. And I remember first seeing her, and I was like kind of thrown, like, how did they make this, you know? But like hearing you explain, it makes so much more sense.
I mean, I think Pearl doesn't have that confidence at all.
Yeah.
But I think with Garnet, she does have
confidence.
Yeah, and she, you know, I think that's how we sort of found Sardonyx's showmanship and the whole stage magician aspect, because Pearl's very showy.
Yeah.
You know, but she feels like she has no power.
Mm-hmm.
But with power,
she
can
back
do
it up.
Anything and everything. And her cockiness is actually backed up with the ability to deliver on it. And so it's a big performance.
Yep.
With her involved.
That aspect really came through with the Know Your Fusion episode.
Mm-hmm.
When we saw, I think a lot of it was the comparison to Smokey, because Smokey was so unsure of himself that they were just paralyzed a lot of the time. What was the development of Smokey?
Smokey, well, I love Smokey because we were sort of working on that arc at a time when I was really stressed because of the show. And Steven, you know, who works on backgrounds on the show, is our lead background designer. He was really, really supportive while I was sort of going through a tough time. And I really wanted to do that arc where Amethyst kind of hitting this low and Steven's just like there for her. It was very, very real for me at the time. And then Smokey is sort of this manifestation. I was also starting to read a little more about, do a little more research on gems. And I was excited about Smokey Quartz as a gem because it represents sort of optimism and positivity, even like specifically at work, which I guess is sort of inside because that's how I felt. But you know, it's I felt like their support of each other would manifest as this really, really positive force, this really optimistic force. But then the underside of that was always going to be that they both sort of struggle with that confidence, and they really want to impress.
Yeah,
they really want to impress Garnet and Pearl.
Like they have like the their inconfidence kind of doubles up on itself.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, Steven is inconfident, but he's not self-destructive.
Right.
But Amethyst can be self-destructive, but she usually has a little bit more confidence than Steven.
Mm-hmm.
So then crossing those things over creates like almost like the worst cocktail of both.
I think it's also that Smokey is the way Smokey is because they have confidence in each other.
Right.
And that's kind of combining, you know, these like two waves of confidence crashing into each other and like exploding into this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think when they both sort of are feeling shut down, you know, in the way that when something's sort of hurting you, it becomes harder to support someone else, you know, like Smokey will sort of crumble under that. That Know Your Fusion went way back. That was like something I had wanted to
that
do for
like a
long
time. That was a really early idea.
Yeah. A long time. And I really liked the thought of trying to distill the relationship between Garnet and Pearl and Amethyst and Steven into two characters.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, this is off topic. Oh. I had a fusion thing that I wanted to talk about.
What?
Okay, so there's some things about fusion that people try to read like tea leaves, and it's not true. Like, people are like, oh, how human a fusion is how, like, important they are, or how tall they are, or, like, how many limbs they have, like, all that stuff. For me, as far as I know, so much of a fusion, how they look when they come out, is just, they're just designed to look really cool.
There's logic.
But I know there's logic.
There's a lot of logic.
There's a lot of logic, but, like, some of it is just, like, well, it just looked awesome this way.
Rule of cool.
You know? And yeah, it's the rule of cool thing. But then there is also logic in how they're... So it's like kind of ambiguous. Like, I know people want to have like one solution, but there isn't one.
It's like all the theories that often there... It's not like all the theories, but often people are picking up on a thing that is very pointed and true.
Yes.
But then sometimes... Not so much.
That's what I'm saying.
But sometimes it's very like.
That's what I'm saying. Tea leaves, right? Because it's kind of like it's like sometimes it makes sense.
I guess
sometimes
tea leaves. Random. If you do believe in tea leaves,
exactly.
That tea leaves is telling you something because there is a deliberate. Well, sometimes
there's some really deliberate.
We put a lot of thought into how these combinations, like you know, Garnet's like what you're saying about Garnet as an action figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Sardonyx just takes that further, where she can spin
around
completely.
It's like, when you have the G.I. Joe and you can spin it around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, like, everybody's very, very thought through in terms
of fusions. I remember, like, Smokey's, like, kind of look and, like, her extra arm and stuff like that. I remember it was, like, very much, like, based on... you know, them together. And I remember the yo-yo being, like, this amazing revelation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that went way back.
Yeah, that was, like, like putting those two things together and getting a yo-yo is, like, perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, yes.
Yeah, it should be a toy, because they're the kids.
Exactly, they're the kids.
Gigantic kid with a gigantic toy.
With a big toy.
Yeah, that was the original thought for Know Your Fusion was I think there was a time when I was on some trip to Virginia or something with my family and I had this yo-yo and I was just like, look at me, watch this, look what I can do. And it was like a yo-yo that automatically went back up.
Right.
So what I was doing required like no skill whatsoever. I was just like throwing this thing around. I'd be like, Mom, look at me do this thing.
Yeah.
I was like, can we do an episode with Smokey that's just that for
where she just wants to do yo-yo tricks.
Just be impressed.
Please, and like be impressed by my yo-yo trick.
They had a reason to not be impressed because the yo-yo I had automatically went back up. It was not, these are not really yo-yo tricks. But I did, I think at some point, learn to walk the dog with a yo-yo.
There's one other thing I wanted to touch on was like, you talked about the fusions that you'd originally thought of, but Stevani sort of came at it from a different angle because that was brought up in a writer's meeting, right? Or a retreat or something?
Yes, yes. That was in, I think that might have been... Was it the same one with the amethyst stuff?
I think it was.
Raven.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Former storyboarder for the show. Came up with a lot.
She was like, what if Steven confused with humans?
And
I was just like, oh my gosh, that's the best idea.
Yeah.
And I got really excited about it. And I really wanted Steven and Connie to fuse.
Mm-hmm. And I remember it made so much sense because we had all these ideas about what Steven was. And I remember one of our early ideas was that, he's human cells held together by magic.
By gem magic. He's a mix.
And so he has this humanity, but it's held together by magic. So he could, therefore...
Is that a spoiler?
I mean...
Can we be talking about...
Well, I mean...
I guess it's okay.
But that's what he is, right?
Yeah.
He's like half gem, half human.
Yeah. Okay, everyone knows that. Everyone is half gem, half human.
He's like this mix of things. And that made Stefani, that, like, it made a lot of things possible. And that was where, like, a lot of the first season ideas came from, was that, oh, he has this human kind of magic. So his way of getting to magic is different than how the gems can do it.
I think that, too, like, we had sort of always wanted the way that Steven came at solving problems to, you know, everyone's sort of worried that it will be messed up in some way because he's so different. And then every time he would keep sort of like stunning everyone by coming at something from an angle they couldn't have thought of because of his humanity.
Exactly.
And then this was just like such a great way to embody that magically.
Yeah,
it's not like him being different.
Because so much of those
isn't holding him back. It's giving him a whole different set of abilities.
Because a lot of those early stories were, oh, they would try to explain to Steven how to do a gem thing, and he usually couldn't do it, or he would just barely be able to do it, or he'd do it wrong.
He'd find
cat fingers.
He'd find a workaround.
He would find a workaround, and then it wouldn't quite be right. But I think that, like, fusion is the first time where it's like, oh, this is beyond what a gem can do.
And this is exciting because it's the first time his powers are, like, exceeding their powers. And that's why it starts with him being so concerned that he's not going to be able to do it, because up till then, he's sort of pretty consistently not been able to do it. I think my big goal with Stefani was just that Stefani should be totally glorious. Like, because I think a lot of the stuff with Steven up till then, if he did something, he would, you know, it would come out strangely or there would be something off about it. But Stefani should just be, you know, this stunning and incredible epiphany of a person.
There's a really fun thing about them that I always really liked about Stefani was just that. So they actually get to see the world of the show in a way that you don't get with any other character. Like, because
everything's from Steven's point of view.
Everything's from Steven's point of view.
Unless it's Stefani or Smokey.
Yeah.
But then it's Stefani's point of view.
So everything from the show is from Steven's point of view. So it's Steven's view on the world and on other characters. However, when Stefani exists, they get to not only be the point of view character, but then also, this is hard to explain it, but it's kind of like where the hallucinations come from.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's almost like if Steven had a view on somebody else's point of view, and it kind of doubles in on itself because we're watching the show, and as the audience, it's actually our point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And then when those things are put together, it's like a double POV.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get extra sensory. You can have an extra sensory view on the world. Does that make sense?
I think, yeah.
It's why the world can kind of break up and become metaphysical around Stefani, and it can't really happen with any other character.
Right, because you're seeing what Steven sees.
Because you're seeing what
Steven
sees.
And Steven is experiencing Stefani having anxiety.
Yeah, and so when Stefani's having anxiety, because we're in Steven's point of view, the world actually, you see it happen. You see it physically change.
Yeah.
And that's why Stefani can, you know, they can tap into, like, you can see something through their experience that you can't see through anybody else's, which are, like, these insane, you know, hallucinations and stuff. Because when you're in that head, you know, you're seeing it from Steven's point of view. It's kind of confusing.
Right.
But, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I just absolutely love Steven's POV being central to the show.
Well, that was
because it makes things like that possible to do.
That was one of the things I was really excited about Alone Together.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, you know, if you relate to Steven or if you relate to Connie, either way, as Stefani, you're put in this situation at this dance. And, like, if you're a little kid watching this that maybe doesn't necessarily usually relate to a character like Stefani or Kevin, but will eventually be, like, at your homecoming dance where this kind of awful stuff can happen to you, you watch this and you're just like, wow, that's not a good situation. I don't think I will do that to someone, or I don't think I will.
Or even, if you've ever been uncomfortable.
Mm. Just like,
you see Steven experience that, and then it's because we're in Steven's POV, you see how that feels.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I love that episode.
Yeah.
That was like such a, I feel like there's still a lot to discuss and discover about fusions and what they are, but I remember, getting to finally
we're not done explaining that on the show at all.
But getting to finally feel what it feels like to be inside a fusion, that kind of extrasensory sort of feeling, it's really special to Stefani.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you guys so much for coming on and talking to me again.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All right, Steven Universe comic writer Grace Kraft is coming up.
It's that time of year, college hoops fans.
The NCAA tournament has arrived.
Don't miss a moment of the action on TBS, CBS, TNT, and True TV.
For the win! Incredible shot!
Download the March Madness Live app to watch every game live, even when you're on the go.
Everybody looking to punch a ticket to the Final Four.
Follow the action all the way through to the national championship game April 2nd on TBS.
I am here with Steven Universe comic writer Grace Kraft. Grace, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So how did you get into Steven Universe originally?
I originally saw the pilot when it was released online. And at the time I was like studying in Japan. So I was like trying to communicate my excitement to all of my like fellow Japanese students and just being like, I don't know how to describe, but it's really exciting. And like even back then I had like this feeling that it was like going to be different, something special. I just like immediately like really loved it. Loved Amethyst right off the bat. Yeah. And then like it was kind of like the show itself came out like while I was in college. And I remember like watching like the premieres in the dorm rooms and sometimes with people, sometimes without people. And I'd like stay at like marathon the few episodes we had like before Coach Steven just like to get through like my final like film project.
Mm-hmm. I have like distinct memories of watching the show in my dorm too. I'm glad that is a shared experience. Yeah.
Except I was like in an art school, so everybody's like, oh, like, well, some people were also into it because they're like, oh man, look at this amazing show. And some people were like, didn't realize it was a thing yet because it was still like before the post jailbreak spike in popularity.
Yeah. It was like a two eras.
It was an era. Yeah.
So what was your path like when you were trying to get to making comics for the show?
Well, it was really cool because, like, I think what was nice is that since I was kind of, like, a fan from the beginning, like, any art that I posted got a lot of traction because there weren't as many people making it.
Right.
So, and I think that got, like, the attention of, like, people at Cartoon Network and people at Boom. And then, like, my graduation week, I remember getting this email from Boom being like, hey, would you be interested in, like, doing a cover? And I was like, yeah, of course. And then after that, I kind of just kept the conversation going and was like, hey, like, do you want more covers or do you want, like, I see you guys do guest comics sometimes. Could I maybe do one of those? And they were like, sure. And so then, yeah, I did get to do like another cover. And then I think I pitched like originally like 6 comic ideas. And then like there were 2 that got rejected. And then the other 4 were the ones that ended up in issues 5 through 8 of the original run.
Mm-hmm.
And those were really fun. And so, and then
is one of those the Opal one?
Yeah, one of those is the Opal one.
I really love that one. Yeah.
It's honestly my personal favorite too. It's also the longest of them because most of them are 2 pages, and that one's like 4. So, but then after that, they asked me like a decent amount of time later, like if I wanted to write them, like write Steven comics, and I was like, sure. And then I pitched ideas to them because they asked me for them, and then a while later they were like, hey, are you still interested in that? And I was like, yes. And so yeah, here we are today.
Right. Well, that's really cool. Starting out as a fan artist, that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. So your favorite fusion is Opal. This is common knowledge.
Yes.
This is known.
Yeah, and since Giant Woman.
Yes.
Day one. Like
same. Can you talk about what it was like making the comic of Opal and writing for her?
Well, it's hard because, like, at that time, the only episode that had Opal in it was Giant Woman. It was before she had ever come back.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I really want Opal to come back. And I kind of pitched this idea because, like, well, maybe I can at least bring her back in the comic. So, and part of the inspiration for it was also, like, that I think there was, like, in Giant Woman, Steven has that line where he's like, what happens when you eat a hot dog? And so that kind of is, like, the punchline of the whole comic where she eats it and she infuses. So... She doesn't. She says just the idea of eating it just makes her infuse. And that was actually like a note I got back because like back in the day of like the first comic run, like I think they were running a lot of stuff like through the crew just because there wasn't so much out. And so we wanted to make sure we weren't
stepping over any lines. And so I remember I got that note back because I think I originally either had Opal eat the hot dog, and it was like, and they were like, no, you can't do that. Like, Pearl would never eat. Like,
yeah, it's not going to happen.
And now it's also, I think it was also before, like, we knew about Pearl's, like, huge aversion to food. So it's like, okay, like, now in retrospect, it's like, okay, this makes a lot more sense.
Right. You were like, what? She needs to calm down.
Yeah.
Was it hard to sort of write with that in mind? I mean, the only thing we really knew about Opal at that point was that she's really cool, and, like, she was sort of forgetful. I remember that mm-hmm. was, like, a big trait that people picked on to because she, like, forgot the Beatles, and they were like, this is her personality.
Yeah, that one trait is just, like,
yeah, because, like, you just had to extrapolate from that.
Well, like, luckily it was a very short comic, so she didn't have to, like, do too much, but it was kind of, I feel like I might have also gotten the note back where it's like Opal is kind of like one track mind. Like she has a common goal and then she's just very concentrated on that goal. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of, because in the comic she, like, Steven's like, let's go to the, like, fun land and let's do these, like, challenges, which are just, like, you know, arcade games. But it's like how Steven, like, leads Opal to mm-hmm. doing all this stuff. And so, yeah, like her one track, like her goal oriented mind is just like, yeah, keep on, like, doing this. And then once, like, the hot dog breaks her concentration, it's just like, oh, no more Opal.
I love her. So we're talking about fusions. What was your reaction to Smoky Quartz, that big reveal in season 3?
Oh gosh, that was just even just, like, leading up to, like, Smoky Quartz, like, appearing was just, like, such an emotional moment. Just, like, when they, like, yeah. hold hands and hug, and I'm just like, oh, this has been building up for, like, so many episodes, mm-hmm. and I'm so excited. Like, Smoky Quartz is honestly my favorite fusion, right under Opal.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's kind of neck and neck. It's just like, oh, I really love Smoky.
Yeah, Smoky's great. And you love Amethyst, so I feel like...
Yeah. Having, and all these Amethyst fusions, I'm just like, I love Opal, I love Smoky. Sugalite's cool, too.
They're all beautiful. They're all amazing.
They are.
So what fusions would you want to see in the future of the show?
Oh, like fusions that haven't appeared?
Yeah, fusions that haven't appeared, and even fusions that you're like, this will never happen, but if it did, that would be awesome.
I saw someone asking an interesting question about whether Stefani can fuse with another gem, and I'm very curious if that is a thing that could happen.
Right.
Like, that's interesting. I'm also very interested to see if, like, Pearl and Steven will fuse. I mean, of course, I'm just interested in, like, Steven fusing with Pearl or Garnet.
Because mm-hmm.
it's just like, what'll happen? What'll they do? Or especially, like, will Rainbow Quartz look the same or not?
Right, so yeah. Like, the fact that Smoky Quartz exists, like, just opened of, a floodgate, yeah, of, like, oh, this is a real thing. Or, yeah.
Steven and Lapis is another one. I'm like,
yeah, that would be cool.
Their relationship that's developed. So it's like, oh, God. Ocean Gem and Mirror Gem. I'm just like, their relationship there is just, like, so cute. How, like, supportive, and, like, Lapis hasn't had any, like, compassion in a very long time.
Yeah, it's really sweet. Yeah.
So it'd be cute to see if that's, like, what fusion, like, Lapis would have, like, right after Malachite.
Right, it would be very little... But I feel like if it was anyone, she'd trust Steven, yeah. You know?
So it's either, it's a toss-up between, like, Peridot and Steven,
right. It would make sense. Mm-hmm. Can we expect any more fusion-related escapades in the future editions of the Steven Universe comics?
Maybe. Can't wink. Say anything quite, but a wink wonk, we'll see.
Yeah. All right, glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
And coming up, AJ Mashaka joins us to talk about Stefani, the fusion she voices. Plus, Stefani has agreed to answer a few questions, too.
I'm here with AJ Mashala, who voices Stefani. Thank you so much for coming. Welcome to the podcast, AJ.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, for sure. So this is your first time we've talked to you. So I want to know, like, first off, what was it like when you got the part of Stefani?
It was pretty cool. I mean, I have to say I didn't know a lot about the show before I got the part. So I became a fan after booking the role. And for me, I was actually auditioning for another project. And the casting director, who happened to work on Steven as well, asked me if I would try out for this role. She was like, it's a little complicated. We're looking for a very specific voice. It'll be a fusion of two different characters. You'll be, you know, Steven as well as Connie, and you'll kind of combine together and become one. And I was like, okay, I don't really know how this is going to work, but I can play with it. And she was like, we've had a really hard time finding it. And so I recorded a couple scenes, and then a couple weeks later was asked to come in again to meet Rebecca and kind mm-hmm. of go through the callback process. And then after that, I booked it. So it was a quick process in a weird way. I mean, a lot of voiceover, it can take a long time just, you know, in regards to booking it and then taping it and then, you know, obviously the final product. Mm-hmm. But actually getting the role didn't take as long as I would have expected. I think they were kind of in a rush to get that part and they just hadn't landed it yet. So I'm really happy that it was me. I'm kind of happy I tagged in at the last moment.
Right. Was it your first time getting a job in voice acting?
Yeah. Awesome. It was, yeah. I had already been auditioning quite a bit, but I only have just like started dipping my feet into voiceover the last couple years. Mm-hmm. So this was really the first thing I had booked. So for me to play this kind of character that is kind of complicated in their own way, but also something that I've really been able to wrap my head around that I would never really be able to play outside of this show is really rewarding.
Right. Yeah. I imagine it must have been confusing seeing... I feel like the audition being named Stevani, and that in and of itself is like, what is this?
What is this?
Whom?
Yeah, and it's like describing it's a fusion. I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, a fusion. Okay, got it. Now I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this.
Right.
But before I was like, I have no idea what this is referencing. But the cast director was able to walk me through it a little bit and give me, you know, a little bit of a heads up as to what the show's about and how the fuse works. And it was fun. It came, not easily, but it came. And I felt really comfortable working with Zach and Grace in the room. And that first episode brought me a lot closer to Stevani. And I kind of locked into what I knew I was going to do.
That's awesome. Yeah. So was there like a learning curve to adjust to voice acting from doing on-camera stuff? Or was it easy for you since you have like a musical background already?
I think due to being musical and, you know, working with mics on a regular basis and working with my voice and, you know, ears, I just feel like that there's a lot of things that I do outside of acting that has brought me in closer familiarity with how I work a voice mic. And mm-hmm. I just feel like there's something about recording in a booth. If you're used to being in a booth and being, you know, in a recording studio and singing and working with dynamics and where to place your voice at a certain time and how to pull emotion out of your voice at a certain time, I feel like working on music has kind of given me favor in regards to voice acting. You know, it couldn't be more different than obviously live action, but you know, it's a lot of work. Obviously, you're working with just your voice, so the physicality that goes behind it is pretty extensive. And I get really into it when I'm in a booth, and I get into it when I'm singing. So there are definitely parallels between the two.
Mm-hmm. I know that when I've seen some of my friends who've gone behind the mic for the first time, especially in like a booth where it's like soundproof and everything, they get really confused by the way that the sound just travels differently from like talking
totally.
Person to person.
And feeling a little muted.
Yeah, exactly. You feel like you're not... You're silent for some reason when you can hear yourself. It's just, it's weird. So there's a lot to.
No, there's a little bit of a dead space inside a booth and mm-hmm. you have to make it creative with the dialogue in order to kind of make that booth feel like what it's not.
Right.
Which is hard. So that's why I also read everything before I go in, of course, because it's like, I try to create the scenes in my head. If there's not already storyboard, obviously, usually there's always already storyboard. So I usually use what I've seen in regards to storyboard, and then I'm able to kind of, it sounds silly, but create in the booth what I picture in my head.
No, that's not silly at all. That makes total sense.
Cool. It's like reading a book and picturing the book when you read it.
And then making it real. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So what do you think now of that you understand fusion more? What do you think about it as a way of portraying like a relationship as a character?
A fusion is pretty beautiful. I mean, if I could fuse with like someone like my sister, who's my best friend, mm-hmm. I would do it in a heartbeat. Like, you know, there's strengths and there's weaknesses to both Steven and Connie. I think mainly strengths between the two of them that I think create a really, really cool character. And there's something about a fusion that is just, that's just powerful. It's like the best of both worlds. You get two people that are already really close and really connected, and then you put them in one body, and it's like, I kind of feel like they can do anything.
I really love that too. It's something that... The show already has a lot going for it, and then that sort of pushed it over the edge for me, where I was like, this is something really special.
I agree. The fusions, to me, kind of push it over the edge. Mm-hmm. It's like, this makes it something that is unlike anything else.
You mentioned that you would fuse with your sister if you could fuse. What do you think that would like be like? What would the resultant of that be?
You know, it's interesting, because I feel like Allie and I would create very much like a superhuman, like a Stevani. Like we both have a lot of things in common. Like we're not extremely different, yet we do have differences.
Mm-hmm.
I think for the most part, Allie and I both carry a lot of confidence. We're really organized. We're big planners. We're go-getters. We're social. We love making plans. Like I feel like our fusion would be like a blast to hang with and like mm-hmm. the life of the party in a lot of cool ways. But then there are times where I feel like our fusion would be a total homebody and just want to sit back and relax at the house and just rent movies. Like there are totally things about my sister and I that are super relaxed. But when we get together and we're writing music or we're, you know, rehearsing for our band or, you know, we're brainstorming the next thing to do for, you know, our record, we're just in a massive creative high energy moment with high stakes. And I just feel like our fusion would be probably very musical. And I would make sure our fusion was a little more laid back because my sister and I both can be a little bit, we're very high strung people. And I think that we would want to teach each other that let's make sure this fuse is not super, super high strung.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because
that's
us
gorgeous.
Combined, it would be insane.
Right.
We'd want to really tone it down a little bit.
You guys are twins, right?
We're 2 years apart.
Oh, you're not?
We kind of might as well be twins.
Okay.
We're like Irish twins.
So, I mean, like if you fused, then it would just be like you would look kind of the same, but just taller.
Yeah.
Like
There's actually an app that I can't remember what it's called. It might be called Face Swap. It was really big for a moment and then it kind of disappeared, mm-hmm. but it combined two faces into one and we did it. And it was a really cool looking face. I was like, whoa, this is rad. So our fusion is technically out there somewhere on an image.
Incredible.
Yeah.
We need to dig that up.
It was like a third sister.
Yeah. mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you were voicing Stevani for the first time, was it tough to find their voice because you have to sort of balance, like you said, the Connie and the Steven segments of their personality?
It was tricky because I never wanted to push my voice in a direction where it was more male-based, mm-hmm. but then I also didn't want to push it to where it was too female-based. You know, mm-hmm. it had to be that the perfect blend to make they happen, mm-hmm. which is not easy. So for me, I already kind of deal with a deeper register and a lower voice. I've always kind of had, you know, a certain texture to my voice just as a young kid that I think was what helped me get this role in a way because, you know, when I was growing up, it was something I was actually really insecure about. I mm-hmm. didn't like how my voice sounded. To this day, I hate my speaking voice. But there's something I'm able to do with Stevani that I think with hearing Zach and hearing Grace and how they both laugh and how they both have very, like, tender voices each. Like, Grace kind of has this really beautiful kind of fluid voice that is very soft. She doesn't have a lot of rasp to her voice. Mm-hmm. It's very clear. It's like a bell, which I really love. And then you have Steven who, you know, he's gotten older, so he's had to pitch his voice a certain way to maintain that young sound. But he has something really interesting about his quality. So for me, I think because I am, you know, a singer first and foremost, my ears are able to take what they've done vocally and I'm able to kind of make it my own. So in a way, it's my own voice, but it's a mixture of as much feminism as well as masculinity I can put into it as well.
Yeah, it's a really great blend. And I'm glad that you pointed that out, too. I remember seeing like a post on like Tumblr or something for the first time when I didn't even pick up on it the first time. There's like a laugh in Stevani's debut episode where you like transition from Steven's laugh to Connie's laugh.
Yeah.
Back to, and it's like you can see the progression and it's like, oh,
thanks.
Never would. It's yeah, that you can like see all the thought that went into it, and
that's cool.
Turned out really well.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. So what was your reaction when you found out about like the size of the Steven Universe fandom?
I had no idea. I mean, even like the announcement of the fusion was like a huge thing.
Right.
I wasn't there for that, but I remember hearing that like they had announced it at, I think, one of the cons, and people just went nuts because they had no idea this was coming. And it's like the reactions from the fans, the cosplay, I mean, what I've been able to witness just going to certain cons has been amazing. Like, I didn't really know this show had as much of a footprint as it has, and it should. It's just, it's so topical in really great ways without being preachy. It's just, it's honest and it's real. And it's, I just think there are lessons to be learned by adults and children that can watch this show that will come away with something every episode. And that's what's so special about the show. So I'm not surprised by the fandom, but it is a little, it's shocking at first.
Yes.
I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Just seeing the, because it is crazy. I mean, you saw Beach City Con, like that was the first Steven Universe convention. And that was the super fun weekend.
So fun.
And it was just, like you said, the cosplay is always something that really, there's so many Stevanis.
There's a lot of Stevanis, which is really cool because I never knew that I could be, I guess that the role would be this poignant with not much footage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't done a ton. I've been in a few episodes. I mean, I've recorded more now that hasn't aired, but it's just crazy. It's crazy to think that, like, I haven't been in that many, but the character has really resonated with people. So to see the cosplay on a character that is not in every episode is really, I'm really flattered.
Yeah. Fusions are always a big deal. That's even true. Though they're,
even if they're not in
yeah,
much.
And I think that's because they're not in as many episodes because they're a special thing, right? That's
yeah.
like reserved for, you know, special treat, you know, like,
exactly.
Oh, we're going to see Stevan.
Like, you don't want to blow it all. So
yeah.
don't like air it on every, yeah. Don't have a fusion in every episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, make it special.
If we saw Stevan every single episode, it'd be like, okay, well, there.
Yeah. We, yeah. Like, yeah. yeah. And then Stephen and Connie would never have any conflicts because
exactly.
they'd be easily able to fuse. So it's like, we have to see them kind of go through their moments of disagreement too. Cause that's when they're not in a place to fuse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So with Jungle Moon that just recently came out, what was it like carrying, like, you had to do the whole episode pretty much on your own, right?
I did. That was a really tough episode for me because I was actually really not feeling well that morning.
Mm.
And I was coming down with something, and I remember feeling really flu-ish. And I didn't say anything because it was like, we're here to work and I'm excited and I knew it was a big episode and I didn't want to reschedule. So I went in there, but a lot of it, you know, had quite a bit of force behind it in regards to like efforts. You know, it's my only episode where it's just Stevani. And this is really the first time there's ever been a one character episode, not having Steven around. So for me, it was like, not that I felt this pressure, but I really wanted to do this episode justice, knowing it was just Stevani. So I think I pushed myself in a way where I exerted a lot of energy physically in the room, just in regards to discovering Jungle Moon and figuring it out. There's a lot of physical effort in that episode. And I remember making myself like sick. Like there was a moment where I was like, hey guys, like, can I take a little break real quick and use the restroom? And I literally threw up and then came back to work. It's horrible. So that's some inside info that you guys might not know when you watch it. But It's just interesting that things like that can happen and then you end up getting a really great episode out of it. Like, mm-hmm. we didn't have to redo anything. But I think I just exerted so much of, like, energy and physical rawness to that episode that I just basically made myself sick.
Wow. That is intense. That is intense.
It's intense.
Well, I'm glad you're not. Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better. Like,
Thank you.
You know, take care of yourself and everything.
Thank you. Yep.
And thank you so much for coming on and talking to me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Today I am joined by Stevani. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is my first interview ever.
Really?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I hope it's a good experience. So what is it like being a fusion?
I mean, being a fusion is pretty rad. Like, for me, I get to be a combination of two people I love. I'm Steven, I'm Connie, I'm Stevani. Like, it doesn't get any better than this. I mean, I feel like we're able to go on adventures together and be one entity. We're one and the same. We're equals. And to me, that's my favorite part about being a fusion.
That's beautiful.
Thanks.
Another question I have is, where did you get your mad driving skills that you demonstrated in that one drag race? Since you guys are both, you know, counterparts are both underage, was it video games? You know, was that the source?
I think for me, at the end of the day, video games were definitely a part of it. But I also just felt like there was this inspiration and this excitement to beat Kevin. It was like, we can't mm-hmm. let Kevin mm-hmm. win. So I knew, get in that car and let's kill it. We both don't have any experience and we don't know how to drive and we're underage, but let's just see how we do. We've watched plenty of movies. We've played plenty of video games and we've seen some people drive before. I mean, I've seen my dad drive, so...
How hard can it be?
Let's get in the car and go. Let's beat Kevin. That was the number one goal, beat Kevin.
It worked out. It worked out for you guys. So have you guys ever fused just to be taller, like to get stuff off of a shelf or something along those lines?
Yeah, we're guilty of that. We've definitely done it before. I mean, I gotta say, for me, I feel like with Pearl, that's probably the thing that I like helping out with the most. If she needs to reach something, I help her. If Amethyst needs to reach something, I help her.
Right.
I mean, for me, it's like, they got to get a can up there. You know what I mean? So I hop on a stool. No, I'm going to fuse together and become taller and pick something up off a high shelf. So I like helping the girls. And I think, you know, being able to play certain sports, I think that there's, you know, an added advantage with our height.
Oh.
So fusing together, whether it's basketball or football, I think this body type really works on those sports.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Helping the girls reach things. Sounds kind of silly, but that's really the main goal when we fuse.
I think that's very admirable. Like,
also, just to have a dance party.
Right. Who doesn't want to do that?
Why not? We know if we dance, we're going to fuse, so be prepared for that.
Yeah, just prepare in advance. Yeah, makes sense. One other thing I'm wondering is, if you guys have tried to do any stuff that's reserved for grown-ups when you refuse, like, for example, calling a 1-800 hotline where you want to order like a some sort of made-for-TV product. Is that a thing?
You know what? We haven't experimented with that too much, but I have a feeling that's probably going to happen more and more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are things, we're both getting older now, and it's like we're getting closer and closer to that age where those kind of things are allowed. You know, what if I want to buy a comic that's really cool, but I'm not allowed to yet? It's mm-hmm. like if we fuse together and we become Stevani, like right now, we can kind of do anything. Right. It just opens up so much more opportunity.
You could file taxes.
We could file taxes. Or... and we could race Kevin again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There are no limits.
No limits. To me, driving is probably the number one thing. At this point, I have a little bit of like a love for it mm-hmm, after that mm-hmm. race. So I would say getting back in a car. I think fusing for us is important because we want to race again.
Understandable. Okay, cool. Thank you so much for coming and talking to me, Stevani.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
The Steven Universe podcast is produced by Stacey Pera, Charles Abadje, and Conrad Montgomery. Special thanks to Rob Sorcher, Cartoon Network Studios, The Crooniverse, and Turner Studios in Atlanta. And coming up next Thursday, something you guys have been asking for, we're finally having an episode on Garnet. I've got Rebecca Sugar and Ian JQ returning to talk about Garnet, as well as co-executive producer Joe Johnston and storyboard supervisor Hillary Florido. So subscribe to the Steven Universe podcast now at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss out on this upcoming episode. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review while you're there. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I will see you next Thursday.